Hello, and welcome to Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community, brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I am your host, Hope Dale, and
Christina Schulman, and today we are so excited to be talking with Miss Kelly Payne with Embroidery Nurse. She has a couple different businesses, one where she actually does the embroidery for customers, and she also has an awesome YouTube channel. So if you don't mind, Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself and then your businesses.
All right, perfect. Well, my name is Kelly, as you already mentioned, and I kind of have gained the name Embroidery Nurse over time because I'm a nurse by trade, and I literally used to do projects for friends and coworkers in the hospital when I was working, and I would be toting all my pink bags to work of monogrammed items that I had made, and I literally was coined the Embroidery Nurse in the hospital, and so that name stuck. As time has gone over the past couple of years, I've kind of transitioned more to embroidery and less to nursing, but it's still a part of who I am, and I still kind of keep my foot in the door a bit with the nursing world. But so embroidery just kind of happened by chance for me. I am a crafter. I would say that's just my passion, is anything crafty. And I'm always looking for new outlets to figure out how I can craft. You can only make so many curtains and pillows, and, you know, just needed to find the channel, the craftiness somewhere. And I happened upon a embroidery machine on a buy sell trade page, which is like Facebook Marketplace type thing, and brought it home. It was a good price. Didn't know what I was doing. I stared at it for a good 6 months before I ever put a monogram on anything. And, you know, once I figured it out and learned and fought my way through it, I just fell in love with it and started selling things right off the bat after posting, you know, a couple of things that I had done. And when people were really interested, I realized there was, you know, a need for it in the area where I was at. People were really looking for that as a service, and it just kind of grew organically from there. The whole thing behind the YouTube channel was I don't even know why I did it, but several years ago, I took a video of me fixing a problem that I had done with a shirt, and I was in my pajamas. I didn't even show my face. Like, it's the worst video ever known to man. And I don't really know why I uploaded it to YouTube. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a purpose. I just figured I had solved a problem with embroidery that day for myself, and I just wanted to share it with someone else in hopes that it might help. And from there, it just kind of grew, and I realized people were subscribing to this one video, and I couldn't understand why, and I'm still embarrassed I'm in my Carolina Hurricanes pajamas, but anyway, you know, in January of 2020, I decided to, like, kind of run with it a bit more and start making more videos for folks to learn and kind of make a video for who I was 5 years ago when I couldn't figure it out and didn't know right from left when it came to my embroidery machine. So that's kind of how that started.
Yeah, you did a couple between that point too, I feel like, didn't you? I feel like I saw some of your pages or your videos. Did you post some to some of the embroidery, like, Facebook pages?
Well, the one I started was probably 5 years ago, and it was really random. And then I was
maybe
like,
maybe it was that video that I saw.
It could be. It wasn't until like 2 years ago that I really, like, full force was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a video a week, which a lot of times that never happens because I'm not the best at planning things far out in advance, but I kind of do them on a whim. If I'm doing something new, I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a video of this. I don't really have a plan. And that's fine. That's not, you know, that's that part's just for fun. But yeah.
I love that. And life happens, and it's okay to let it happen. But right. Been fun. I think I followed you back when I saw that video. Maybe it had to have been at least a year ago. I feel like it was a couple years ago when I saw your first video, and I've enjoyed watching your your channel kind of evolve and change and your following grow. So that's been super fun. Now, how much would you say you do YouTube, and what percentage is embroidery?
So honestly, 90% is embroidery. YouTube, like I said, it was just kind of for fun. And if I am doing a project that, you know, I think somebody else would have value in learning, like if I'm that particular day using glitter vinyl and like, oh, let me do a video of this real quick. And I have fun doing that. I'm pretty sure I talked to myself in my own craft room anyway. So it kind of was natural for me to set up a camera and just talk. I feel like I'm talking to people when I do it. So I think it helps my, you know, motivates me when I'm crafting to feel like I've got 100 people in the room with me.
And probably yeah. helps the time go by faster, right? I think it sometimes does. When you're in your, if you were like me when I was doing my embroidery business, I worked mostly at night. And,
I do.
You know, so having that conversation, that dialogue makes it a little bit more fun too. So
it does. It does. And I mean, honestly, YouTube is it's a place for how to, like where, how to do this, how to do that. And so, you know, I try to make most of my videos of how to embroider this or how to, you know, do that. When I started doing it, there really was like two other people that I could even find that had embroidery videos. Now there's a lot of people doing them. So yeah. you can find more, you know, out there now, which is helpful to, you know, people that are beginning. But I felt like when I started, there really wasn't a lot of options to watch and to learn from. But that's how I learned.
Yes. Well, and so for those of you who don't know Kelly, I actually met her through Love That Cotton. She was one of our customers and you've been for quite a little while now. So that's been really fun to watch your embroidery business grow. And then she was one of our awesome instructors at Everything Embroidery Market in Biloxi. And she's being a bit modest. She does have a really big following on YouTube and people are excited to see you. And I just from the background, I really enjoyed watching people like get excited and they're like, Kelly, and they kind of were starstruck. And it was just,
it was funny. I literally came home with a big head. I was like, oh my gosh, people are taking pictures with me.
Yes, we had a star funny. In our presence.
It was funny. I really enjoyed that. And that's what's so awesome about going to like, you know, the Everything Embroidery Market was the fact that you're around people. Like none of my friends embroider. I don't talk about embroidery with anybody here. Like they know I do that, but they don't really know what I do and they don't know what it entails. They just know they can drop stuff off at my house and a monogram will be on it when they pick it up. So, you know, to be around like-minded folks that do what we do is, I mean, it just, I need that. I need it every year. I need it probably more than once a year just to be around people that, you know, understand kind of day-to-day what, you know, what we do. I mean, this is my full-time job. I mean, this is what I do every day. And like you said, like last night, I think I went to bed at 2:45 a.m. because I work better at night anyway. I have three boys that keep me busy and a traveling husband and a very busy business. So I can't complain, although I do, which is not right. But I'm so busy right now because it's the Christmas season. And, you know, I shouldn't complain because it's amazing to be able to grow a business that can keep you that busy. But 2:45 a.m. when my alarm goes off to get kids ready for school at 6 is not a lot of time for sleep in there. So
no, and it comes quick, right? It's like your head hits the pillow and you're like, ding, time to
done.
Get up. No.
Done. I know. And I only do that on nights that my husband is in town. If he's out of town, I don't stay up like that. But when he's in town, I can stay up all night and really get my work done.
So you said you started YouTube consistently a couple years ago. Do you remember what year it was when you started embroidery? Do you remember when that was?
My embroidery? When I look back to that first video, I know that was about right when I started because I even posted that machine of I don't know what to do with this machine. That was one of the first videos. And I believe it was 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. But like I said, for the first 6 months, I just stared at that machine, just confused. I couldn't even figure out how to get, you know, something from the computer to my machine. I didn't know anything about software. I just thought you were going to plug this little machine in and I was going to be able to put monograms on everything. Like it just, and that's when people look at my machine, they're like, oh, how cool, it does it for you. I'm like, well,
yes,
it really do it for you. There's a lot that goes into getting that onto that machine to make it run. So yeah, there's just so much to learn, way more than I would have thought when it came to just, you know, beginning to end product, just a lot to learn. And I've said it before, if you talk to 10 different people that are working on the exact same project, all 10 of them literally will do it a different way. Yep. And they swear by their way of doing it. And so in the beginning, that's so confusing. If you're a black and white type of person, like I'm a recipe follower, like I like to take the recipe and I don't veer from it. So when I was doing embroidery and 10 different people were telling me 10 different ways to do the exact same thing, it just was overwhelming. Because then I felt like I had to buy all of the things to try to do it the way they said do it. And in the end, you just really have to figure out what works best for you. But I mean, truly, like some people only hoop, some people only fast frame, some people don't use spray adhesive, some people only use fusible. I mean, it's right. mind-boggling how different people do things.
Yes. And what kind of thread and like even how to merge your designs and, you know, it's,
right.
You are so right on there. So what kind of machine do you have? And how or where did you learn? So did you go to YouTube? Did you take a class? Where did you get all these different opinions?
So the very first machine I got was a Baby Lock, a 4x4, you know, single needle. Actually, it was Brother. But anyway, a 4x4 machine, which anyone that does embroidery knows that doesn't really give you much space to do anything. But I didn't know that at the time. I just thought I could do anything with that. And I basically started selling items from that machine. I didn't realize it was a business at that time, but when I look back, I did. And I started getting so many orders that little 4x4 couldn't do it. And every time I bought a different machine, it was purely out of panic because what the machine I had could not keep up with what I had already like sold.
Right.
So I went from the 4x4 and then I moved up into another Baby Lock machine that was like a Baby Lock Flourish, which is an amazing single needle machine. And then from that, I knew I couldn't do single needle. I couldn't keep up. So I got a 6-needle Baby Lock, and then I couldn't keep up anymore. So I got a used 6-needle to add to that. So 2 6-needles and the others. And then...
is that one Baby Lock also?
Baby Lock, yeah. Well, I just wanted to stick with what I knew. I got it from the same dealer. Like that is one, you know, recommendation I had to purchase it from, you know, a dealer that can really help you along the way. And he knew I was looking for another machine. So the second, you know, someone brought one in, he knew like Kelly needs one of these or wants one of these. So having that relationship with someone, I literally can even text, you know, him to this day and say, you know, what's going on with my machine? Like, let me show you a picture and I'll take a picture and he's able to walk me through it. And this is years after I've had the machine. So that's a piece of advice to, you know, if you can buy from someone local that they can help you.
And but also adding, you're right. I don't think we've talked about that yet. You can buy used from most dealers. Most dealers will take in trades. And so you can buy used. And if you're patient, you can get a really good deal with that.
Right. And I knew what I wanted. I didn't want a bigger machine. I just wanted one just like mine so that I could just run 2 because I was trying to be more efficient versus trying to do bigger things. But I mean, I was certainly wary. I wouldn't feel comfortable just buying a used one from someone selling it on Facebook. I don't feel comfortable with that. But since this was through my dealer, I felt good with that. I knew he was going to look over it all and before he would even offer it to me. So then I also have a 15-needle Ricoma embroidery machine, and that's a commercial machine. And so they've kind of partnered with me on YouTube through their like influencer program. And, you know, the ideas that I use it in my videos. And so that's been a good addition. It's definitely different as far as it being a commercial machine. It is insane. A little more to learn with it. But again, I mean, they even have amazing YouTube videos. The other night, since it was 2 a.m., you know, there's no one I can call at that point, but it was doing something particular. And I literally went on YouTube and typed exactly what it was doing. And sure enough, there was a video that someone had done on that exact thing. And I was able to fix it immediately. So it's definitely a good, you know, resource for a machine like that too, that doesn't have a direct dealer that you would be working with. So yeah, I've got a bunch of machines. I'm happy when they're all running, but it takes a lot of coordination to get them all going at the same time. I generally will have like one certain project on one, you know, appliques on one, monograms on another one, and then things that I do just multiples of on the other machine. So
what's your primary niche, I guess?
My Etsy shop is definitely geared to children's clothing, and it kind of ebbs and flows on what exactly at that moment is my, you know, top seller. I would have thought looking back that I applique shirts are what my thing was, but when I really go into the analytics of Etsy and year to year, it's really not what sells the most. Honestly, it's more items, you know, like from Love That Cotton, like a seersucker dress with a monogram on it. I actually sell more of items like that than I do like a Christmas applique shirt when it comes down to looking at the analytics of sales. And that's always, you know, something I recommend, doing items like that take 12 minutes on the machine versus a barnyard applique that takes 45 minutes, yes. Which I don't do that barn shirt. If someone asked me for that, I source them out to someone else. There's just some items that just take too long.
I did a barnyard shirt for Cole for his first birthday. And it was the cutest thing. I did it twice because I messed the first one up. I had my multi-needle was messed up. I had to go back to my single needle that I hadn't used in however long. And like, I don't know. I ate the shirt. So I had to do it again. And I will never, ever do that design again.
It's like 18 pieces of fabric and no. But I mean, that's something when you're looking at it more as a business, I mean, I've removed certain things from my Etsy shop that just are time killers that every time it would come in as a sale, I'm like, oh, I hate that shirt. And so finally I've given myself permission to like, take those out. Like if I really hate doing them, then let somebody else do it. Like the things that I'm doing are not rocket science. They're not like, I have not created them of my own, you know, they're designs that I've purchased just like anybody else does. So if someone's looking for that particular one, then I'll just send them elsewhere and share the wealth because there's enough for all of us. So.
Well, and I think you made a good point. You found your, what sells the most through the analytics. I think a lot of times people get wrapped up in the day-to-day, in the creating or the posting or whatever it is, and they forget to look at the analytics. Right. And if you don't look at those analytics, you can't grow, right? Like you have to see what's selling and go there. Sometimes it's a little bit different than what you have in your head. And that's a good tip too.
Well, and it might not be things you even like to make. Like I've made like... crazy money, of course, off mass, like everybody did on Etsy. But then I also did get a little creative and I took a laundry bag, like a little laundry bag that you would, I don't even know, I guess you would normally put, I don't know, like bras in it. I don't know. But a little mesh laundry bag and I embroidered on it dirty mask and clean mask and face mask. And I can't even tell you how many of those I've sold over the past year and a half. Etsy picked it up on in their newsletter when they were, you know, talking about something. And ever since then, it's just been, you know, I make those every day. I mean, every day I'm sending out a mesh bag that says dirty mask and face. It just, not fun, but it's been nice. Something different.
Yes.
So easy. Like it's not even personalized. Yeah. So, I mean, it's beyond easy, but it's just keeping them in. I got to keep them in stock and made. So anyway, thinking outside the box, like the reason I kind of thought about that is because I was making washable face masks. Well, what is everybody doing with all these washable face masks? They need something to wash them in. And so just sometimes thinking outside of the box, other than, you know, a cute onesie is business-wise. I mean, I know over the years, my mindset has kind of turned more business-oriented versus crafting hobbyist-oriented. I mean, I still day-to-day do the same thing really, but I kind of look at it from a different perspective of, I mean, I hate to say money, but
well, I mean, kind of, you're in business. You're in business to make money. And yes, right. You're crafting that your business is crafting, but it's, you can't stay in business unless you're making money. You're right. Supporting your family. You're supporting that hobby, or it's not even the business, not hobby, you know, that's what we're all here for, you know?
And I actually was a nurse up until the pandemic started and I was furloughed for a couple of months. They said, hold off. And during that time, my husband and I, we decided to pack up, move to the beach, live life where we wanted to be. And, you know, the funny thing with that, part of the discussion about moving is my husband was like, well, if you can match your nurse paycheck, then let's do this. And so that's my motivation each week. I'm like, I've got to make that certain amount each week to at least cover the fact that this is what, you know, we've chosen to do. So that's kind of when my mindset shifted a little bit of making it work.
Hey, everyone needs that little extra push. And then you get creative and you make those little bags that people see and they're like, I didn't know I needed that, but I do. I need six, please.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah, helps with goal setting and everything. I mean, it's just a good building block to have. Like, I need to make X amount every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's good. It helps, and it helps me not maybe spend that money too, and buy all the designs and all the cute things.
No, that's good. No, hey, and I think that on just an added part of that business talk is you're planning what you're going to make to sell. But you also have to look at your numbers as far as like, what inventory do you have that's not selling? And how can you get rid of that? Let's get rid of that, because it's that's something that I'm thinking a lot about right now, because we're end of year and we have, you know, whatever winter inventory that we have left over at Love That Cotton. I mean, you pay taxes on that inventory, you know?
Right.
And so I start thinking about ways to liquidate. And I'm thinking also about spring, you know, what's going to be the next thing and what do I need to get rid of before that comes. Yeah. And so if you're not looking at the
sale, have to plan.
Yeah. Right. You have to plan.
And like right now I'm doing a 12 days of Christmas getting into the December in my group, and really, I'm just doing that. I'm offering 12 different items that I have in stock that I want to clear out of, but I'm trying to make it sound like, oh, look at this 12 days of fun. But there's a purpose behind it for me. It's to get rid of these 12 different items that I've narrowed down to wanting to get rid of.
Yeah.
I used to keep a lot of inventory, and I learned pretty quickly that, like you said, you don't know, sometimes you don't know what's going to sell. And so I would think that something is so awesome, and I would, you know, buy five of every size of something, and then it would just sit, and then I'd have to liquidate it, and then it was kind of like a wash as far as making any money from. So, you know, learning over time what works best, what sells best, and finding, you know, vendors that I can rely on to get those things from, where I can order them weekly versus ordering such humongous quantities of things that might just sit. So,
well, and if you have stuff that's sitting and then you're constantly doing a sale or something, In my mind, that devalues your product in your customer's eyes. And therefore, they're going to expect that lower sale price.
It
and
is. Then
they're
going to wait. Your price not, point goes down.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to sit. They're not going to pay the full price because they think you're going to have a sale next week and then the week after and the week after. So you just have to be smart about what you're carrying. And
right. Well, in my Facebook group over time, they only buy things that are sales or samples. If I say it's a sample, or if I say it's the last of something, it will sell in 2 seconds. But if I put something up there full price, they don't grab at it. But that is the intention of my Facebook group, is to be the group that I can bounce ideas off of. I can do samples for, if I throw out something or show them something new and no one even comments on it, then I'm like, oh, I guess that's not a good, you know, a good idea or a good thing to add to the shop or whatnot. So.
No, absolutely. And you're using that in a way that is beneficial to your business. Right. So right. I try and do something similar with LTC. I always ask, what do you want to see? Right. Like, what color, what style? And then, you know, I have several people that will send me just, I wish you carried this, or, you know, will you ever carry this? And I store it in the back of my mind and I write it down. And then when that season comes up, when it's time to make that sample, I'm like, okay, this is what my customer base wants to see. Right.
Right.
And I may not have thought about it, but that's what they want to see. And so you should be using your customer base, your Facebook group, if you have a brick and mortar, you should be talking to your customers and trying to get to know them. You want to be your customers, like, you want to know them forwards and backwards. You shouldn't be guessing all the time, right?
So. Right. No, absolutely. You've got to know the target market. And that was one of the classes that I did at the, it was really talking about target market and knowing who your avatar is, knowing who you're selling for. And, you know, we kind of touched on it a minute ago, like my embroidery business, that target market is someone very different than who my YouTube videos are for. Those are two different markets. Those are two different people I'm talking to. My embroidery are people that are looking for cute items for their kids and have extra money to spend. But my YouTube target market is folks like myself that are, you know, wanting to learn about embroidery, you know, learn that craft so they can, you know, start their own business and whatnot. And But that is huge. If you don't know who you're talking to or selling to, then you're really not going to go far.
Yeah, no. And I think sometimes people will go one of two ways. Either they narrow it down because they're afraid to like, they have one thing in mind and they're not willing to change it, right? Like, I'm only going to sell kids' clothes, but their market is telling them that they need to sell adult and they're not willing to change it. So you have to be open to evolving as your market evolves with you. And then you have the other people who try and do a little bit of everything, and you can't do that well, right? Mm-hmm. You have to at least have a direction. So
yeah. And I don't have all the toys. I've never done heat press vinyl. I've never had a Cricut. I've never sublimated. I've never done any of that stuff. Like, I've literally only done embroidery, and I kind of have to remind myself, I want all the toys, but I have to remind myself, embroidery is what I do. I'm busy with this. I don't need to add all the other right now, at least. I did just get a heat press. And so I'm excited about that because I have three boys who have grown out of the world of embroidery. And they're into the world of sports and shirts and things like that. So I'm excited to kind of see where that might lead. But
hey, well, and I actually think, so when I say you're doing too much, I think that's more the beginning while you're figuring out. But once you perfect that, I mean, I'm that person who's like, hey, what's next? Hey, let's do this. Let's add a trade show, you know, like that has nothing to do with Love That Cotton. But I do think that once you have your systems in place and you have good people supporting you or whatnot, at least in my case, once I had the staff at the warehouse that I could trust, I felt like, okay, now we can take something else on too, because I know that LTC will be taken care of. And I'm still obviously at both, but it's okay once you have that ability to switch a little bit, right?
Oh yeah. Well, looking for the opportunities too. And I know that's something that you do for sure. I think we were both, I wasn't looking to do what you do when it came to Elio, but when Elio was closing, I actually bought their entire warehouse of what was left in it. When they closed, drove right up there and bought everything that she had left. And that was right when you were like, I have a big announcement. And she was, Ashley was like, I've sold this to someone. I'm like, oh, I bet these things have something to do with each other. This is exciting. So, but you know, looking for that opportunity, you know, I knew just getting her remaining inventory would, you know, be a boost to my sales. And I knew I really liked, you know, what she made. And so just kind of looking at things I've always been a big picture type person. And I think that's why I kind of got into YouTube. I kind of see things, I always have kind of on a higher level than just the one little shirt that I have on my machine. I definitely have an entrepreneurial mind and try things. They might fail, but you know, I know I've tried and move on to the next idea as it comes. So I have to turn it down sometimes.
My husband says the same thing to me, but I can't help. I feel like a lot of people that are in this industry are almost serial entrepreneurs, right? Like, they're just like, you're not afraid to try something new, you know? And that is why we're here, because you like to try something new and see what, maybe push the envelope just a little bit and learn from those other people that have done it before you, and then tweak it, make it your own, and then try something else new a little bit. Okay, so change subject just a little bit. What are three of your favorite items, whether it's in business or personal, that you can't do without? Maybe it's some coffee that keeps you going.
My three favorite. I don't know. I was thinking more business-wise, but if you're just talking about life, then...
It can be business. It can be life. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Well, I certainly like working for myself. I certainly enjoy having the ability to, if I want to work at 2 a.m., I can work at 2 a.m. I can still go to all my kids' games and things like that and run a business the way I want to. I like Diet Coke. and I like to play tennis. Those are my favorites right now.
Do you get to play lots of tennis?
I do. I can ride my bike down to the courts on my street. So it's getting a little cold for it, but I do like to do that.
Awesome. Everyone needs a little sunshine time and a little exercise. Yes.
It's fresh good. Air.
Yes.
It is. And we play doubles. And so that's getting out there with three other girls. And so it's just fun time away from my crazy world with my boys. So
I love it.
I enjoy it.
So do you mind sharing three tips that you would want your customers to hear? Customers, whether maybe it's YouTube listeners or podcast listeners here.
So I would think more business-wise, maybe versus people that I sell to, really treating your business as a business long before you think it really is one was crucial for me. And that can just be in the little things like getting a business card, having a logo, picking colors that can be your brand colors long before you even think you need those things, because those things are really what will set you apart when and people to recognize you as the real deal. I actually had a story of taking someone where I worked ordered a birthday shirt for her son. And, you know, I put it in a cute little poly mailer and I put my, you know, business card and my thank you card. And then I put it in a little pink bag and I gave it to her and she literally opened it and she was like, "Oh, you're like the real deal." And it was just funny that, you know, small touches of the, you know, putting things and making them, you know, presenting them nicely, like you would, you know, I could have taken in a Harris Teeter grocery bag if I wanted to on my way to work, but instead, you know, going that extra step and treating yourself, you know, like a real business. We already kind of touched about it. The other tip I would say is just figuring out what works best for you, because there are 10 different ways to do everything in the world of embroidery. Some machines, you know, seem to work better with one thread or one hoop or one, you know, way of maneuvering things. And just know that, like any business, things are ever changing. There's always a new technique to learn or a new product to embroider or a new, you know, fancy, you know, machine out there, and that you just kind of have to keep up with the times and social media too. That's really important if you want your business to grow. Even if you hate it, it's a necessity, and it's just, you know, if you time block it, add a little bit of time to do that each day, it really will, you know, make a difference in the end, just getting your name out there.
Like you said, going that extra step on your packaging and those thank you notes goes a long way. But most people these days, if they've never heard of you, they go straight to Google and Facebook, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Ooh, they don't have a Facebook page. What's, you know, why not? Where are they?" And so I do think that is a huge tip. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I am so thankful that you took some time out of your evening to chat with us. If you don't mind, share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you. What's your YouTube channel and your Etsy shop, your business?
Everything that I have social media wise is Embroidery Nurse. So you can find me on YouTube for Embroidery Nurse. Etsy is Embroidery Nurse. Facebook, Instagram, everything has got that handle of Embroidery Nurse.
Yes. If you're looking to learn some good tips and tricks from Miss Kelly, go subscribe to her channel. And she does very frequently come out with new fun videos. Hopefully you'll be joining us at least one of the upcoming Everything Embroidery Markets. We do have one coming here. The next one will be in Chattanooga at the last weekend of April. And it's super fun. So if you get a chance, hop over to everythingembroiderymarket.com. And we'll be opening registration here in the next few weeks. So we hope to see you there. If you're looking for a community to join where like-minded people are growing their business, connecting with vendors, and having a little fun while they do it, you can also join us at Everything or EEM Connect. The sign up for that is also at everythingembroiderymarket.com. So we hope to see you there. Join us, subscribe to our podcast channel here, and there's more to come.